Hey, when you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about those out-of-pocket costs. Now, that can be a lot of money, but are your medical bills accurate? Now, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills actually contain errors. Now, HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, or fraud. Now, you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, to date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Check them out online, healthlock.com. Go there today. Hey, Sean Hannity here. It's time that you purchase the Less Lethal Burner Launcher. I love this. Now, listen to this. The story from Marvin, a Special Forces veteran. Now, Marvin fired his burner from 40 feet away as three unwanted people tried to enter his home. All three went down for 30 minutes, plenty of time for the police to arrive. It is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks required, and it's shipped right to your front door. Just go to their website, check out their videos, burner.com/Hannity, BYRNA.com/Hannity, and you'll get 10% off.
Imagine a society with a digital dollar and no cash, where every penny you have could all be tracked. That's why thousands of Americans have decided to opt out of the government's plans by talking to GoldCo and putting a portion of their savings into physical gold and silver. Right now, they're offering up to $10,000 in bonus silver while supplies last. Go to HannityGold.com to learn how you could get started today. That's HannityGold.com.
All right, day 275, day 288 of when Joey promised he would not abandon Americans behind enemy lines. Even Blinken Winken admitted that they're still there last week. What a week we have. We got the big Pennsylvania Senate primary, gubernatorial primary happening tomorrow. We have the latest poll numbers in and the latest on the Kathy Barnett factor of this. A lot of people got mad at the fact that I just looked at a record and just said, okay, I conclude I don't think she's electable. We'll get into that in a second. Our prayers to the people that lost loved ones and were victims of this terrible shooting that took place in Buffalo over the weekend. Later on, I won't do it now in the program, you know, the very predictable attacks against talk radio, conservative voices, you know, begin. Because this guy, he believed this conservative point of view or that conservative point of view. I know nothing about this guy. Sounds like a racist, bigoted, you know, murderer, thug. If you recall when Steve Scalise and others were shot, and Steve Scalise nearly died that day, came very close to dying. I know the whole story. And by a Bernie Sanders supporter, I went on the air and purposely said, of course I don't blame Bernie. That is intellectually lazy and intellectually dishonest. And I remember at the time that the man that was accused of opening fire on that GOP baseball practice, he had apparently declared his love for the conspiracy theorist Rachel Maddow at MSDNC. And anyway, it was picked up. I know the Daily Caller wrote about it at the time. And one of my favorite TV shows is the Rachel Maddow Show. He goes, on a recent show, she stated 17 very rich men are supplying the Republican Party with more than 60% of the campaign contributions. These men are trying to buy our country. And it goes on from there. Rachel Maddow is not responsible for what this mad person did, shooting innocent people in a ball field. Not at all. And this is so intellectually lazy, so intellectually dishonest. Bill Clinton blaming the Oklahoma City bombing on Rush Limbaugh and talk radio. So it's such a distortion. But they try to score cheap political points. And here we go. From what we know so far, this Buffalo shooter sounds like a textbook racist who decided to act out of his hate in the most violent way that he could and planned every detail of it and apparently live streamed the thing. You know, 10 people, I've heard mixed reports, 10 or 11, shot at this Buffalo supermarket. I go shopping every week. I don't really want to be there if there's going to be a shooting taking place. Scrawling the name of a woman slain in the Waukesha parade rampage on his gun. Here, quote, here's your reparations. There's no room in the Republican Party conservative movement for racist and bigots. Period. End of sentence. I've said it again and again and again. And I shouldn't have to say it. Biden's going to travel to Buffalo to meet with the shooting victims there. But in the Waukesha case at the Christmas parade massacre, why no visit to that particular one? You know, it's only when Democrats, now we have shootings every week in all these big cities, the violence, record crime, murder rates going up through the roof in liberal cities and towns all across this country, in large part because of really dumb, bad, dangerous policies of defund, dismantle, and no bail laws. So this is happening everywhere. The Biden FBI jumped into the Buffalo shooting. They ignored the Waukesha Christmas parade massacre. This shouldn't surprise you. The minute that this news broke on Saturday of 10 people in Buffalo, and our prayers are with everybody, and I mean that with all my heart. I can't imagine the pain so many are suffering. Was clearly a racially motivated attack, and the media mob, and of course Democrat, they jump in both feet, wall-to-wall coverage, and then starts the blame conservative game that they always play. You know, because as far as we know, the shootings in, you know, we didn't see, I guess, the political component in Milwaukee when 22 people were injured in three separate shootings in downtown Milwaukee near an entertainment district where thousands have been watching the Bucks lose to the Celtics in game 6 of the NBA Eastern Conference semifinals. And three people were shot near Deer District and other places toward the end of Friday night's games. And look at the average shooting on the average weekend. What you're looking at here is the face of evil. That's what this is. This isn't about politics. It is about evil. And whatever sick manifesto, Ted Kaczynski had Al Gore's Earth in the Balance in his house. Do we blame Al Gore for the Unabomber? No. And I've said that publicly as well. You have multiple mass shootings, New York, Wisconsin, California, 33 shot, 5 fatally in Chicago this weekend. Mayor announces a ban on unaccompanied teenagers from visiting, you know, some parks during certain hours. Kids can't even go to parks anymore. Shooting at a Houston flea market led 2 people dead. You know, it's unbelievable. And of course, all the Biden administration is doing, by the way, CNN lied about me and said Hannity's wrong in his report about baby formula at border facility. No, it wasn't. I've got the pictures to prove it. And I got Jen Psaki's voice saying, no, it's the morally right thing to do. And defending the policy.
But I would also
play it now. We'll play it later in the program. We have a lot to get to. By the way, Donald Trump will join us, the president, at the bottom of this half hour. So sad. A police officer, a deacon, a local pantry chef. All shot and killed. All these people, all these families, this entire community it's just unbelievable. And even Republicans get in on it. Liz Cheney blasting House GOP leadership for enabling white nationalism, white supremacy, anti-Semitism. Who is she talking about? Because I don't want to be part of anybody that has that belief system. I have no idea who she are. They saying that people that believe in secure borders and legal immigration, somehow that if you don't support open borders, that's a racist position, a white nationalist position. White nationalists are ignorant idiots. They're not part of the conservative movement. You know, Democrats spend, I told you this last week, they've now spent 6 months researching and developing the ultra MAGA barb, and now it's backfiring because the ultra MAGA balance, you know, ultra MAGA secure borders, energy independence, peace through strength, constitutionalists on the bench, lower taxes, less bureaucracy, school choice, law and order. I'll take that directly. Anyway, so and then you got fake news, CNN, with all of their lies about this. It's just sad that people will politicize even a shooting like this, and they're just so intellectually lazy and dishonest. That's what bothers me the most. California shooting at a church in Laguna Woods left one person dead. Congregants hogtied the gunman. Good for them. Chicago mayor has to ban minors from visiting public parks. Not good. All of this is bad. Anyway, we got a lot to get to. We'll have a lot of this on Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern on Fox. We're watching these races. Tomorrow is the big Pennsylvania primary for both the gubernatorial race and Dr. Oz, who I support and the president supports. He opened up, according to the Emerson poll, a 4-point lead. Well, but I take nothing for granted. I think there's going to be a very close race. Donald Trump also saying that Kathy Barnett won't be able to win. She never will be able to win a general election. I mean, maybe in a crazy wave election year. And I have nothing against Kathy Barnett. Could care less that she attacked Donald Trump and attacked me by name for supporting Donald Trump. She actually tweeted out about yours truly. Why does Sean Hannity support unprincipled Donald Trump? Her comments about Islam and her comments about Obama, her comments about gays and lesbians. Believe me, nobody's more critical of radical Islamists, or nobody was more critical of Obama's policies. But when you read it, and then now she's denying that she even, I don't remember that tweet at all. Why didn't you take it off your timeline? Are you saying that you got hacked? She won't even say that she got hacked. My gut tells me she didn't get hacked. And she doesn't want to take ownership of the comments that she made. Well, okay. What is the general rule for an election? We have a chance to take back the House and the Senate this year to stop the worst presidency in the modern era. We cannot take for granted that we're going to hold that seat in Pennsylvania. You need the most conservative that can win. The most MAGA that can win. I believe strongly that's Dr. Oz. I don't tell people how to vote. That's going to be up to the people of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. But I will tell you, there will be consequences. You know, look at the group, the Club for Growth. You know, sending in millions of dollars. So they support all these positions. We can't get in touch with them. They won't answer my call. I wrote Steve Moore, who's no longer with them. I said, Steve, why won't your guy, you know, you're friends with this guy. Why won't he call me back? Why won't he answer? Do you agree with Kathy on this? Do you agree with Kathy on that? Now that you're funding this thing. And I'm telling you, all these races, we now see a movement where Trump-endorsed candidates are now being targeted. There's like $45 million that was dropped on Dr. Oz's head in negative ads. I don't recognize Dr. Oz when I see these ads. And I vetted him like I vetted Donald Trump. By the way, gas hit another all-time high overnight, $4.50 a gallon. A week ago, it was just $4.32 a gallon, and that was a record. A year ago, it was $3 a gallon. Same with diesel. Diesel, if you can even get it, there's now a shortage. Even Jeff Bezos is blaming Biden for inflation, criticizing his administration in tweets over the weekend. You know, you want to bring down inflation? Let's make sure the wealthiest corporations pay their fair share. And Bezos shot back, saying the two issues should be discussed separately. Mushing them together is just misdirection. Corporations don't pay taxes, ladies and gentlemen. I wish they did. And then just like everything else, blaming the meat companies, blaming corporations, there's Buttigieg blaming baby formula shortages on Abbott. And Abbott's saying, not so fast. They fired right back at the White House saying, not so fast, not true. Gas, you know, who can afford this? It was $5,200 per household on average, the cost of Biden inflation, and $2,000 a year just in gas price increases alone, which is going higher every day. It's insane. How do we run out of baby formula in this country? And if we have a shortage of it, maybe this makes me an America First guy. I think that it should be given to Americans first and then, you know, find the best alternatives for anyone else that needs it worldwide. That's it, or illegal immigrants. But I believe American families should have access to it at first. I shouldn't be lied about, by the way. Pew Research, inflation tops voters' list. No other issue comes close. I told you, once Americans see that abortion will still be legal at the end of the day, they're not going to buy that. Obama's former economic advisor, Treasury Secretary Steve Rattner, told MSDNC, inflation is here to stay, making the upcoming election a really tough one for Democrats, you think? Washington Post defended Biden's decision to send baby formula stockpiles to illegal immigrants. Why not American moms and moms first and American families first? If we have a shortage, I mean, I know people that are in desperate need of it. They're explaining it to me. I can't believe it. Democrats are blaming price gouging for the baby formula shortage. That's not the problem. They're the problem. America's military shrinking as the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines fail to meet recruiting goals because nobody wants to serve under this president. I don't even think he knows that today is Monday. Just a thought. Anyway, 800-941-SEAN. Oh, and he hit another low approval rating. Now, even NBC has him in the 30% range of approval, in the 30s in terms of approval. You know, it's not good. Wrong direction, NBC News, 75%. Right direction, 16%. Nearly 60% disapproval rating. Can't really get much lower than that. Right, as we roll along, President Trump at the bottom of the half hour. I mean, it's so sad to see this great country of ours that we love in such a difficult position. By the way, I love how they focus group the term ultra MAGA for so long, and now it's like the biggest positive. It's boomerang right back at them. You know, and fake news, CNN attacks me. Hannity's wrong. They're not sending baby formula down to the border. I'm like, I got a picture of it. Jen Psaki is out there saying again and again, it's the morally right thing to do. I'm like, okay, but if you have a shortage of it, do you give it to law-abiding, hardworking taxpayers, tax-paying Americans, or do you give it to people that don't respect our borders, our laws, or our sovereignty? Of course we care about these children. I hope some doctor can come up with some alternative that might suffice, because this is a crisis for parents, and I don't want any kid to suffer. I don't care where they're from. It's unbelievable. We got a lot coming up here today. Oh, one other thing. This was pretty interesting. The White House got caught in a massive COVID lie. When Biden took office, millions of vaccines, they were putting a million shots in people a day. And then they claimed, no vaccine. When I took office, there was no vaccine available. I'm like, yes, there was. They've had to now walk that back. They now say they misstated the vaccines were unavailable when President Biden took office. Over a million shot, you know, vaccines going into people a day. Not that they're doing much good anymore. I mean, all these variants that are out there now, whether you're vaccinated, boosted once, boosted twice, and had a previous infection, I know people getting COVID now for the third time. I knew plenty of people that got it twice. Now I know people getting it for the third time. This thing is just insidious. Anyway, when we come back, former President Donald Trump, he'll weigh in on tomorrow's primaries, the news of the day, all coming up. And then your calls later, 800-941-SHAWN.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 25 now till the top of the hour, 800-941-SHAWN, our number. You want to be a part of the program. I want to run through really quick, and then we're going to get to former President Donald Trump. Gas prices today hit another all-time high. We're now at $4.50 a gallon on average. In some states, it's up to $7 plus a gallon in gasoline. Same with diesel, and we have a shortage. 75% of voters believe America's on the wrong track. That's NBC. NBC now has Joe Biden in the 30% approval range. This was in the New York Post. Biden's war on domestic energy has America on the verge of rolling blackouts. And that, by the way, is according to people that are now warning that this is very, very real because of America's inability to power our infrastructure to meet the power needs of this country. Jeff Bezos even blaming Biden and for the cause of inflation of all people, saying that, in fact, the administration tried to inject even more stimulus, et cetera. Joe Manchin saved them from themselves. Then you have Pete Buttigieg, genius that he is, blaming the baby formula shortage squarely on Abbott Laboratories. They fought back and said, nice try. Didn't happen. And as a matter of fact, we were cleared of any wrongdoing by your government. And it gets worse from there. Now, somebody predicted all of this would happen. That would be the 45th president of the United States. This was during one of the debates. Listen.
Let me tell you about the stock market. When the stock market goes up, that means jobs. It also means 401ks. If you got in, if you ever became president with your ideas, you want to terminate my taxes, I'll tell you what, you'll lose half of the companies that have poured in here will leave, and plenty half of companies that are already here, they'll leave for other places. They will leave, and you will have a depression, of which you've never seen.
Well, Mr. President, we appreciate you joining us. Donald Trump is with us, the 45th president of the United States. Sir, how are you?
I'm very good. Thank you, Sean.
You know what I feel? I feel horrible for my fellow countrymen. We're paying now twice for a gallon of gasoline what we paid for when you were president. You see what's happening at a 42-year high of inflation. The poor, the middle class, people on fixed incomes, they are suffering needlessly. You see what's happening at the border. You see we gave up energy independence. All these things that you succeeded at, Joe Biden has destroyed in less than a year and a half.
Well, I think you can add something else because I think it was the lowest day in the history of our country, and that was the way we withdrew in Afghanistan. That was the worst moment of time. You can say a week, you can say a few days, you can say one day. There was never a lower point in the history of our country.
And I think by the way, my list goes a lot longer, just so you know. That was on my list.
But I think to me that was the most humiliating day in the history of our country. We actually surrendered. We didn't lose one soldier to the. If you take a look at the Taliban's and my conversation with Abdul, the head of the Taliban, we didn't lose one soldier in 18 months. And then they did this, and we had 13 killed. We had many horribly injured. We left Americans behind, which is incredible. We surrendered, and we left $85 billion worth of the best equipment in the world behind. And right now they have other countries having samples of our great helicopters and our great airplanes, and they're going to make them maybe as well as we do. It's a disgrace what's going on in so many other ways. The other thing is the border. I mean, how bad can it be? You have millions of people pouring into our country, many of them coming from prisons, by the way.
You know, I argue and I say that all of the problems that we're now facing as a country were all preventable and they're all fixable. The problem at the border can be resolved by going back to your policies. The problem with the high cost of energy, which impacts inflation, we could fix that and become energy independent. You made this country energy independent for the first time in 75 years. With the problems on the economy, instead of build back broke socialism and wokeism all over the Biden administration, if we go back to your economic policies, we'll do better. If we go back to your foreign policy, we would do better. And I agree with your assessment. You scared the living hell out of the Taliban. You've told me about that conversation on my TV show, and they didn't kill a single American for the last 18 months you were president. Now women and women can't go to work. Children, young girls can't go to school. And we still have Americans trapped behind enemy lines, sir.
So we were getting out, and I'm the one that got it down to 2,000 soldiers, but we were going to keep Bagram, not because of Afghanistan, but because of China. It's 1 hour away from where China makes its nuclear weapons, a nice thing to have. Now I predict that China will be taking that over, the base. Bagram was massively expensive many years ago, billions and billions of dollars. and they left. They should have never left. And that's not because of Afghanistan. Again, that's because of China. And all of the things that are happening, inflation was caused by energy, and now it's caused by many things, okay? The energy brought it up to a level that nobody can believe. Oh, inflation's going much higher. Energy's going to go much higher. And I predicted all of this stuff. You know, I've been good at predicting things, I guess, because I'm hearing a lot about that now from a lot of people, even the radical left. They're saying Trump has predicted most of this stuff. But the inflation got, the inflation was really started by when the energy, we had energy down to less than $2 a gallon for gasoline. We had, I mean, I could really give you a negative. We had it down to almost nothing a barrel for a while. We had to get it up, if you remember, because we were going to destroy the oil companies, the energy companies and the oil companies. But we had it down to $25 and $30 a barrel. Now, that was so low that they would not have been able to survive, and we got it up to a little bit more than that.
Well, let me go back in time, and let me play another Donald Trump prediction, if you don't mind. Listen.
We have more oil than anybody, okay? And it's an incredible thing that it's happened over the last few years, a lot of great things, and you're paying, what, $2 a gallon for your gasoline? That's okay. You know what that's like? That's like a tax cut. That's bigger than a tax cut. If Biden got in, you'd be paying $7, $8, $9. Didn't they say, get rid of your car?
Well, exactly in some places, happened. We're up to $7 and getting close to $8.
Yep, that's true. It's going up. That's exactly what's happened. And that's bigger than any tax. You could give a really big tax increase when somebody's paying that kind of money, especially middle-income, low-income people, where they're paying that much per gallon. That's bigger than any tax increase that you could give them. It's a killer.
Let me talk a little bit about the importance of this upcoming election in November, generally speaking. Then we'll talk a little bit more. By the way, you're 58-1 in terms of your endorsements. And
the one had headwinds. The one had big headwinds.
Well, he had a lot of allegations against him. That's not your...
allegations that were put in very late.
It was much closer than I thought it would be, I'll tell you that.
I will tell.
Yeah.
He almost won. By the way, he almost won. It was very close. But they threw everything, and they threw false... In my opinion, false, I guess time will tell, but that was headwinds. That was nothing to do. We took him from last place to first place, and then they started throwing a lot of bad things at him. And, you know, time will tell what that was all about.
Let's talk a little bit generally. This midterm election, Republicans have an opportunity to take back the House and the Senate. If they do, at least we will plug up the hole in the boat, to use an analogy. And then we could start bailing out the water and getting America back to being great again, or to use your term, save America, which I think it needs saving again. But how important do you view overall the Republicans getting the House and Senate?
Well, they've got to get one. The House obviously would be, it looks like it's going to be very strong, but I don't want to say it because if I give you an estimate of the number of seats, and if we get one less, the fake news will say he suffered a humiliating night. So I'm not going to say it, but I think it could be a very substantial number. And with the Senate, I think you can, some interesting things could happen. It's tougher. Mitch McConnell made it a lot tougher. He lost two Senate seats. He should have never lost those seats in Georgia, and he lost them. They should have never been lost. But I think there's a chance to get up a little bit in the Senate and a whole lot in the House. And if we just did the House, we'd be a blocker. At least we'd stop our country from going to socialism / communism, because you wouldn't have that. So we'd be able to stop. It would be a big block. But ultimately, you want to have all three.
Look at the races we're talking about. Marco Rubio, Florida. We have Herschel Walker. We've got Bud in North Carolina. We got Tim Scott. We've got New Hampshire. We've got Ron Johnson.
Bud was very interesting because, as you know, he was very popular in his district, but nobody knew him in North Carolina, and I endorsed him. And over a little period of time, once they heard, now I'm hearing he's way up. He's great. He's going to be a great senator, I think, and meaning I think he's going to win based on the polls, which I'm not putting too much stock in because they've been wrong. You know, they said J.D. Vance was going to be very tight but probably couldn't win, and he won by a lot. He won easily. And I think maybe the same thing will happen with Oz. I think Oz is very popular.
Let me ask you about Oz, because I know him. Can you confirm, when we started talking about politics, long before you ran in 2015, right, we had many, many long conversations, both in person and on the phone. And right, I wanted to make sure before I supported you that you really were going to govern as a conservative. And by the way, you kept every promise you ever made. You really did. And right, I think you governed more conservatively, and these policies were great for this country. And I vetted Oz the same way. He is an America first, make America great again, save America conservative. And he's had $45 million dumped on his head. He's going to join us at the top of the hour. And I don't even recognize the guy when I look at the ads. It's been so ugly there. And now Kathy Barnett is in the race, and I've looked at all of the controversial things she says. And I made the statement she's unelectable. I think you made a statement similar. I have nothing against her. I just, like, who's the most conservative that can win? I don't think with all those comments, she'll get clobbered with those comments in a general election.
Well, she has something to do with a statue for Barack Hussein Obama. Now, this is a Republican primary. They're not fond of Obama. But she was very much forward thinking in terms of a certain group of people, including in particular the radical left, but that's what she wanted to be. She was quoted at the time forward thinking, a statue of Barack Hussein Obama. I don't think that's going to sell too well when people are going to be going into the booths tomorrow. Or people, you know, look, you've had people, a lot of people have already voted, so this came out recently. But I think that alone is just not where Republicans are going to want to be. That's going to be, I think it's came out 2 days ago. I heard it 2 days ago. I said, well, that's the end of that race.
Well, you know,
maybe it's not true, but I think it is.
But I see a lot of similarities. For example, like the Club for Growth, all of a sudden threw millions of dollars into Barnett's campaign. And I'm like, do you agree with all of these positions? And by the way, she was very critical of you repeatedly and criticizing me for supporting you back when you were first running.
She's been very positive about me and lately very critical because, you know, I'm opposed to her. But, you know, Club for Growth is interesting because they threw a lot of money at somebody named Josh Mandel. Yeah. And I was with J.D. Vance, and as soon as I backed, and we Club was not doing well. They're having a lot of losses. And they came, and for 2 years or so, we've been very close, and we've had an unblemished record. But when I went for J.D. Vance, they went out and spent millions and millions of dollars on trying to beat J.D. Vance. I didn't think that was a nice thing. And what happened is they lost, and they lost very badly because, you know, what people don't know, J.D. was in fourth or fifth place, and he was down quite a bit. And he came up like a rocket ship. We had a rally for him. But the endorsement, and, you know, then we had a rally, and it was great. But they came out and they endorsed one of the opponents who was actually in first place at the time. So they were endorsing the first year. And a lot of times they'll say, well, aren't you just picking front runners? I'm not. I have many people that aren't front runners, as an example. Well, and I think you can speak to Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz was not winning. He was down 9 or 10 points. And now he's leading, according, I guess Emerson just came out. He's up by 5. So we'll see. But he was down by 10. And now, look, I've known him for a long time. You've known him for a long time. He's a very good man, and I think he'll be a great senator. I think he'll also be able to win the election, and I'm not sure that the other people, I'm pretty sure that the other people will not be able to win.
And that, by the way, is a Reagan saying, you know, the most conservative person that can win, and the can win part is important. We're looking at now a foreign policy disaster in Afghanistan, war in Europe, with the worst inflation in 42 years. Again, today, we set another record high with gas prices. And our borders are an absolute mess. Our energy policy, I never thought we'd be at a point where a president of the United States would be begging Iran, Venezuela, and OPEC for energy when we have the capacity to be energy independent. And we have more natural gas, more oil than we would ever need for the next 200 years. How is it possible that we wouldn't rely on Texas, Oklahoma, Ohio, and Pennsylvania for our energy needs? Why would we ever be beholden to countries that we know hate us?
And how is it possible that 2 days ago with these numbers, these horrible numbers on cost, that 2 days ago he just terminated gas leases, oil leases. And I hear there are many of them that were terminated. Who would do that? I mean, either you hate the country or you're stupid. It's very simple. Who would do that? You're talking about numbers, prices. It sets every day we're setting new records. And that's a real bad record because it's costing people $5, $6, $7 now to fill up. And, you know, they went out and bought all those big, beautiful trucks. And now they're going to be switching to Volkswagens or something, I guess, because that's what happened with Jimmy Carter. That's what happened previously. But we've never seen, the world has never seen anything like it. And when I was there, this was never going to happen. This was an unforced era. They were all unforced. Inflation was an unforced era. We had no inflation. Better than that, we had a tiny bit. You know, you don't want to have zero. You want to have a tiny, and that's exactly what we had. We had perfect on inflation.
Joe Biden inherited 1.4%. We tapped out at 8.5. We just had 8.3 again. This is unsustainable, and now interest rates are going through the roof. We expect as many as 10 more rate hikes in the next 2 years.
And you have a dollar that will not allow you to do business with foreign countries. It makes us uncompetitive. You know, the dollar is at a point where it will make it virtually impossible for companies to do business with foreign. In other words, we're not going to be able to manufacture products, which we're doing in tremendous numbers, and sell it because our dollar is at a point where it just doesn't allow us to be competitive with other countries. So we're going to have to be buying product from other countries. You believe this?
You watched this. You actually said to me when you called into the TV show one night, and you actually said, I take no joy in this. I want our president to succeed. Yeah. And I'm knowing you all these years, I know you mean it, because if we don't succeed, the American people are the ones that are suffering here.
Look, the thing that they do well is elections. That's what they did. What they did was a disgrace. And that's the only thing they do well. Everything else they've done, they've failed at everything. What's happened to our country and even other countries, what's happened to our country, they don't want to even talk. They don't take his telephone call.
Well, let me ask you a question. If you got back in,
what's happened to our country in the last year and a half, I don't think it's ever been so low as it is right now, ever.
You told me, I said, what's one thing you'd do differently? You said, and your answer interested me. You said, I would ignore the fake news media because they're just too corrupt and I'd focus on solving the country's problems. If you got back into the game in 2024 and you ran, how quickly would you be able to return to the successful border policies, energy independence policies? How quickly could you get the economy up and running again, do you think?
I think pretty quickly, but it's not as easy as you think. You know, I'll give you an example on the border. I made a great deal with Mexico, and this was an interesting deal, but I had to stay in Mexico. In other words, nobody could come in. You had to wait in Mexico till you're approved legally to come in, which wasn't a big percentage of people. And we had that thing down to a science and many other things, but we had to stay in Mexico. Getting that, now what they've done is destroyed it. And the only reason they even have a little bit of it, a semblance of it, is that a court said you can't do this. But they're trying to do it anyway. They want people to come into our country, no matter who they are, whether they're very sick with COVID or anything else, whether they're criminals coming out of jails. Other countries are emptying their jails into the United States, and they're coming in unchecked. People don't know where they come from, who they are, what their names are. The border is being rushed. This is like an invasion. This is an invasion. This is like a military invasion. And you know who's really running the border is the cartels.
By the way, Joe Biden's policies are aiding and abetting lawbreaking, but it's even worse. You get preferential treatment. You don't have a COVID test. You don't get vaccine mandated. No. There's no vetting of your background and associations. There's no health check in the middle of a pandemic, and you get free Biden phones on top of it and free transportation to the state of your choice.
And the number of people coming in is many times the number that they're telling you, many, many times. It's horrible what's happening. It's
All right, last question. Who are the people that you like in these upcoming primaries? Who are the people you're looking at the most?
Well, we have a lot. I mean, you know, I've endorsed a lot of people. I've been very active, and, you know, it's been, so far I've done 58, and so it's 58 and one, and the one was very interesting and horrible, in my opinion. Horrible what they did to this person, what the Democrats, what they did, because I think the I think it was fed by Democrats, done by Republicans. And, you know, Reiners are bad things, too. In many ways, Reiners are worse than Democrats, all right? Reiners are far worse than Democrats in many instances. But I think that Ted Budd is going to be fantastic. I think Oz is going to win. And I just hope that the people listening will vote for him, because I've known him a long time, and he's a wonderful man and a compassionate guy. And I think he's going to, I think it's going to be a little like JD. They said JD was going to come in second. And not only did he come in first, he came in first by like 10 points, by a lot. He won easily. And I think this could be, I think this could be something that will be very exciting. And we have a lot of other people. You know, in Texas, we were 33-0. We have a couple of runoffs going off in Texas. I think that the Attorney General is going to win very big in Texas. I think Paxson's going to win. You're going to have a very exciting day tomorrow.
Well, I can't wait. As a matter of fact, one of the candidates is supporting Dr. Oz. Will join us at the top of the hour. Mr. President, we love having you on the show. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day. Former President Donald J. Trump, the 45th, and who knows, maybe 47th President of the United States. We'll continue on the other side.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.